Blog Talk Radio.
Just want you to know that we are here and we are ready to talk. We're ready to talk on this edition of Christian Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Christian Talk Radio. And hi, Cecilia.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing very good. I want to say hello to all our friends and family all over the world. God bless you. Greetings.
Yes, and before we do anything, of course, like to tell everybody, hey, get on your phone or text somebody, tell friends and family to get on tonight, right now. Let them know. Tell even if they want to dial in, give them the number 646-668-8537, or just tell them to click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila if they see our post on Facebook, Tumblr, or Twitter. And or if you just happen to see the program advertised on Instagram, just dial the number. You know the number, 646-668-8537. And just tell them to dial in right now. We have a very special guest.
What about making actual... I was just going to say they actually can go to Christian Talk R and send us an email. Have any questions or they want to make any comments regarding the show, go to christianrtalk@gmail.com. Thank you.
Yes, and we would really appreciate, some feedback. We'd like to know what you think, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a good time tonight. And I'm not going to tell you who our special guest is right now, even though some of you may already know or have guessed. But we've got something pretty important that we are going to have to do right now. And that pretty important thing is, yep, you guessed it. One and only TNT moment. It's time for a T. Meyer and Tasila moment where we can share some things with you, maybe answer a few questions that some of you may have been asking. And as a matter of fact, Tasila could probably tell me more about that. Who's been asking? Well, what do we have for today, Pastor Tasila?
Well, today we have, why is it so much fear? And we all know that it is. I just want to tell a little small story about, I remember when I was a little girl and we were running to tell my mom we were afraid. You know, you say, Mom, I was in there and I'm scared. And she would say, that's because you're bad. I used to think that was funny.
Yeah.
I never knew
maybe
how those
truth
two things
that,
went together. I promise you, I never knew how did those two things go together. It used to leave me puzzled, like, huh? But, and, you know,
right.
Since I became an adult, I kind of understand now. But in today's society,
right.
People are controlled by fear, Pastor T. I mean,
yeah,
fear is being used
true.
To control the masses. It's like a little boy who knows you're afraid of a spider or a ladybug, and then he tries to throw it on you once he finds out.
Yeah.
Oh, you scared of that?
Yeah.
Throw this on you. But today, I noticed that the fear has gripped all nations, not just ours, but mostly all nations on the earth. And it's part of the enemy's plan, but it's really not God's plan, because he would rather that we listen to him and not walk in fear. And first of all, I just wanted to bring this to the attention that fear is like a plague, and it's part of a curse for being out of order with the Lord. In Leviticus 26:17, you know how the Lord goes over all the things. If you do this and that and that and this, I'll bless you, bless you, bless you.
Right.
And if you do not, he said, I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, all the things that happen if you don't. And they that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth. I thought that was strange. Mm. He says, you're going to be running, but actually no one is after you. Then he goes on to say, and if you will not yet for or after all this, you don't hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron. Like, you know, your prayers can't be heard. And we know that God does hear all things, but that iron means that he's not listening. And if you walk contrary to me and will not listen to me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. So fear is about curses and plagues. Why? It's according to your sins. People make themselves vulnerable to fear, actually. Themselves, they become vulnerable to fear. It says in Psalms 53:5, there were they in great fear where no fear was. They were in fear, but it says it wasn't even any fear there. So as you can see, fear is a product of something. For one, it's delusion that comes from disobedience. Isn't that something?
Right. Yeah.
It's because it goes along with being, disobedient. And then because they had, God says that because they did not listen, then he had to, and they didn't want to make any changes. Therefore, they did not want to fear God. Fear God and you won't fear man or anything else. That's what God is saying.
Right.
Be willing to make the changes that he's making in your life. And the people do not want to fear God. And if you don't want to fear God, then you're going to be fearing man. But in Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. You want to be bold like a lion. You want to stay in good standings with the Lord. And I know this, perfect love casts out all fear. Learn to love the Father perfectly and your brethren as yourself. And the only fear you will have is to be a healthy reverence to the Lord. Right, Brother T?
That's exactly right.
Having a healthy reverence towards God. And you won't be walking in any fear.
That is oh so true. You know, fear can easily, you know, easily come upon a person, because fear is a spirit or a demon, and that demon uses all kinds of tools to keep you bound with fear. Certain drugs can bring forth fear, paranoia, panic, and so on, whether they are legal drugs or illegal drugs. But even without drugs, people are still afraid of many things, afraid of heights, afraid of water, afraid of dark, of the dark. Some people are afraid of clowns and many other things and situations. Why are they so afraid? Because you have a fear that the things you are afraid of will harm you and bring you pain or bring a sickness upon you. That's what you entertain that fear because of that. You're afraid of being harmed. You're afraid of having pain or a type of sickness come upon you and other kind of fears. Well, that demon of fear makes you unstable, and it brings the things you fear the most, like for some people, losing their livelihood, you know, their careers. This is a big fear for some people. This demon of fear can cause you to have a fear of anything, animals, insects, thunder and lightning, and the most important fear or the most, you know, I guess the most common fear of them all is the fear of death. See, people are afraid of the unknown. Many times you will find that people are afraid because they don't understand something. They don't have a lot of knowledge concerning the things that they are afraid of and many other things. They are just scared. Did you know that some Christians are afraid to delve deep into the Word of God? They don't want to go deep into the Word. Yes.
Or hear revelations either, because what's going on, they don't want to hear it either for fear of hearing the truth.
Yes, for fear. That's a demon. That's a spirit, people. Whenever somebody's getting ready to give you a deep revelation or a word from the Lord, and all of a sudden a fear come over, you don't want to hear it, rebuke that spirit. Did you know that even some pastors, preachers, and teachers of the word avoid the book of Revelation? They will not preach
That's
on
true.
It or teach on it because they don't understand it. Therefore, that demon makes them afraid of it. And for good reason, actually, that the demon does that, because the book of Revelation speaks of their end, their demise. Fear is a powerful tool of the enemy. Satan uses fear to control you, and he influences others to use fear to control people, individuals, small groups, to even an entire nation, to even the entire world. They are controlled. Yes, they are controlled by fear. This same tactic is going on today, right now. Governments control their nations through fear. But we, Christians, have no need to fear. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. We will not fear. The scribes and Pharisees and all the Jews during the time that Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, all of these scribes, Pharisees, and Jews, they were in fear of the Roman Empire. That's how the Roman Empire kept control over them. It was through fear. And even today, we know that times are changing. And these are the changes that Satan, demons, and ungodly men are bringing forth upon this world, which is causing a lot of fear in the hearts of the people. But we, Christians, we have Jesus. Always remember that. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That means my deliverance. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We can be put at ease just to know that we have Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things. This is Jesus talking, telling us this also. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus, and he will keep you in perfect peace. We have no fear at all when we have the peace of Jesus Christ in us. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus talking. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Amen.
So don't give in to this spirit of fear, that ugly demon, because that spirit will have you fearing everything, people, animals, viruses, or anything of a negative nature, even other demon spirits or ghosts. You know, we cannot fear these demons.
We have authority over.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. We can't fear these demon spirits because Jesus has given us power over these demons. Therefore, we must use our authority, the authority that he has given us. Luke 10, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. These are demons. And over all the power of the enemy, that's Satan himself. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. We've got to stand on that word. Put your full trust in the Lord, because the Lord is our protector, our provider, our healer, and our deliverer. God is our source. God is our strength. He is all that we need in any situation. So stand in him and truly, truly believe and trust in him. And he will assure you that he is right there by your side, no matter what the problems may be, big or small. He assures us that I'm right here, is what he says. I'm right here. Isaiah 41, verse 13, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Yeah, you can't get any clearer than that. The Lord is always right by our side.
And the Lord is our light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who shall I be afraid of? No one.
Exactly.
Nothing.
No one. That's the answer to that question. No one. The Lord is always right by our side. Remember, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you feel fear coming upon you, speak the word of God over it, and then speak the word of God to yourself. You can say these words in Psalm chapter 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And then you have to call upon him and have faith that he will answer your prayers. Psalm 34, 4. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. And again, when or if troubles come upon you, just remember this scripture in Exodus 14, verse 13. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And I will end with this scripture that you should always remember and stand on. And it is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So listen for the Lord to say, fear not, because when he says fear not, when he says it, the fear leaves immediately, because fear is a demon. Immediately, because fear is a demon spirit, and Jesus has given us power over it. That's it. Amen. That's it for our TNT moment. So
that was beautiful.
My goodness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory now and forever. All right. Don't go away.
Amen.
We're going to be right back with our special guest. Stay with us.
The word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. What we're doing tonight. This is how I fight my battles. It's when you think you're lost. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Ooh.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my
That's how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Hello, you are listening to Christian Talk Radio with T. Meyer and Tasila and our special guest. Pastor Tasila, I know that you know who our special guest is.
I can't wait.
I know. Apostle Kipling Taylor, how are you, my brother?
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor T. Meyer and Tasila. God bless you both. God bless everyone that is listening tonight, man.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yes.
Loud and clear.
All right. Amen. God bless you. Good evening.
Amen.
Good evening. Let me, let me
tell everybody about Apostle Taylor. Apostle Taylor is the apostle over God's army of churches. He is a 14-year veteran of the military and 12 in veteran law enforcement. He is currently a manager for the transit in Atlanta. He has his bachelor's of science degree in management and pursuing a master's of science in organizational leadership. He is also the owner and president of, get this everybody, he's the owner and president of Slap Someone Sauce. LLC, Slap Someone Sauce. You're going to have to tell us about that. He's a husband to a queen, and he's a grandpa to four beautiful grandchildren, and he's also apostle over Soldiers Called to Worship Prayer Line and Walk to Wisdom Bible Study. You are a busy man, Apostle. You're a very busy man.
Glory belongs
to God. Amen. And you know, Apostle Taylor, you know, we just wanted to, you know, give you open door to bless people. You have a lot of wisdom. You know the word, and I know that the Lord deals with you quite a bit. So I just want to have you just tell your story or just whatever the Lord has laid on your heart that the Spirit leads. You go right ahead, my brother.
Hey, man, I actually was going to bring a word tonight, and it's funny because I always wait for confirmation to the word that God gives me. Not that I don't trust that God is giving me the word, but, amen, he always confirms what he has spoken into my spirit. And so, amen, as you both in the interim began to deal with the spirit of fear, by God, I wanted to leap out of my seat because that is not what I am going to preach about tonight is fear. Hallelujah, glory.
My goodness.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, amen. Let's just get into this. But first, amen, let me just have a quick word of prayer, if you don't mind. Amen.
Yes,
Father,
absolutely.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name this evening, Father God, and Lord, all over the world, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because you're not just a God in America. You're not just the God in, amen, hallelujah, Europe. You're not God in Africa only, hallelujah, but you're the God of the universe. Hallelujah, glory to God. And we all, amen, hallelujah, owe everything unto you. For if you had not created Adam and Eve, there would be no us. And so, Father God, we thank you this evening, Lord, that you've allowed us to come into thy presence, almighty God. We come first and foremost, Lord God, just to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, amen, that you have allowed us to come to the end of a day, amen, that was not promised to us. Lord, when we laid down last night and, amen, with no hope or with no promise that we would see today. But, Lord, you say you saw fit to allow our eyes to open this morning, Lord God. And not only that our eyes open, Lord, but we have lived this day. And we have lived it to the fullest, hallelujah, because, Lord God, you, amen, were pushing us to the fullest. And so we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, and how you crowned us with wisdom and understanding. Lord God, that we might reason together, that we might have intellect together, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the activity of our limbs, the movement of our being. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, because, Lord, some of us, many of us take it for granted, Lord, that we would be walking, that we would be talking, that we would be seeing and hearing. Lord, but we know, Father God, that all of those things are miracles and gifts. And we do not, Lord God, take it for granted. Because at any moment, Lord, we could lose any of our faculties. And so, God, we thank you for protecting us. We thank you for your divine touch, your finger of love, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord God, I yield to the power of your Holy Ghost. I ask that you would take control now of my mind and of my lips, giving me clarity of thought and of speech today in the name of Jesus, or tonight, excuse me, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I pray, Lord, for every household, every ministry, every minister, amen, that you would open up our ears and eyes tonight that we might both see and hear, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual realm as well. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I draw from my experience, 14 years, if you will, in the military. Now, as a young boy growing up, it was my desire to play in the NFL. I did get an opportunity to try out, but didn't make it. And, of course, the three things that I really wanted to do, like I said, the NFL, the wanted to be a police officer, which I actually was that for 12 years, and drive trucks, which I did for a couple of years. And so the Lord allowed me to do the things I wanted to do, but it's funny how, there's a saying or there is a quote that some people say, is that if you want to see God laugh, tell him your plan. And so I had no idea that I would end up in the military. In fact, you heard my testimony when I was here with you before of why I really joined the military. I thought it was an escape from my mother, but the Lord has a way of taking a bad situation and making it good. And so in the military, I learned something. I learned how to be disciplined. I learned how to keep my word, because you can't promise and then not deliver when you're in the military. And so as a result of that, I understood what it meant to be a soldier. Now, I started out in the United States Navy, but while in the Navy, I was attached to or became a part of some elite groups or an elite outfit, if you will. And I trained with some elite groups in the military. You see, the enemy tries to capitalize on all of our hurts and our pains to try and cause us to be used in this way. He tries to use us in a negative way based on the things that we have experienced. You see, I had this chip on my shoulder. I was a very angry young man. And so the enemy was going to try and use that to do some things. But God said not so. And I can remember the day that a brother said to me, and he was a senior chief, and we were talking. We were standing by our personnel lockers, and we were talking. And he said to me, "Brother, you need to clean up your language." And I said, "What did I say?" And he said, "Every other word out of your mouth was a beep or a bleep." And at that very moment, I was convicted. And from that moment forward, I would listen to not only my language, but the language of those that I hung out with. I'm going somewhere with this. Now, I've not given scripture yet, but just hang on just a minute. Okay. And so, amen, as I begin to take inventory now of the folks that I hung out with, I saw what it was that he was talking about and how the influence of hanging out with those folks had overtaken me. You were talking earlier, both you and Tasila, about spirits, about demons, and about the influence and the impact that they have upon the life of people. And you were also mm-hmm. talking about how even believers are fearful today. Well, let me just share with mm-hmm. you. It's because we've taken back as to who and how and what we hang out with. We've been so beat up and called out that now we don't feel like we have solid ground to stand on because everybody is coming for us. And so, amen, mm-hmm. we feel like we're in a defeatist state, a mentality. There was a terminology in the natural war, or the natural wars, if you will. And that terminology identifies people that don't want to fight. They're called conscientious objectors. And for whatever reason, they refuse to pick up their weaponry. They refuse to engage the enemy. And so, amen, they refuse to fight. Now, we know in the natural military, if you are a conscientious objector, and certainly during time of war, you can be shot and killed for refusing mm-hmm. to fight. So it's a very mm-hmm. serious thing to refuse to fight. But in our time, we now find people that are in the church of God that are refusing to fight because, one, they don't even understand what it means to fight. Some people go to the church house simply to see what everybody else is wearing and what everybody else is doing and socializing. But what we fail to realize is that the church house, the church grounds, all of that is there for the sole purpose of training. You cannot right. go into battle. You cannot fight a fight if you are not trained in the art of war. You cannot engage your enemy if you don't know what your weapons are. You cannot engage the enemy if you don't know what the enemy looks like. There was a movie that came out some years ago that Denzel Washington played in. And he was a tank commander. He was a battalion commander of tanks in the Iraqi war. And what had happened is these Iraqi tanks had breached the line of the American tanks. And I was a tanker. In fact, I was a tank gunner when I was in the Army Reserve. In fact, I was the number 3 gunner in my battalion. I'm not trying to toot my horn, but I'm serious about when I make a commitment to something, I'm going to play it to the fullest. And so, amen, in the movie now, they began to engage one another because they didn't know who were the Iraqi tanks and who were the American tanks, and there was a lot of friendly fire and dying as a result of us killing us. And so, amen, they were being investigated because some Americans died at the hand of other men. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because in the church today, saints of God, we got saints killing saints. We've got saints castigating saints because they're afraid to engage the enemy in combat. They have laid down their arms and have become conscientious objectors, not wanting to fight, one, because they believe that if they engage the enemy, they're going to be put on display, or they're going to be somehow put in it's going to be a negative impact in their lives. They could very well, amen, lose their job because they said something to somebody on the job about Jesus. They said something to somebody, amen, in the grocery store, and someone was offended because they were a third party and they overheard somebody talking about God. And so, amen, these folks now have laid down their weapons. and refuse now to fight. Let's just go to scripture this evening, if you will. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's just look at what the Bible says about the conscientious objectors. Amen. Let's go to a familiar verse of scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Now let's just exegesis that scripture. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of fear is present. And if it didn't come from God, there are only two forces in this earth, light and dark, good and evil. So if God didn't give it, then the devil had to apply it. And so the thing is, though, the inoculation against the demon of fear is what God has given us. So what has God has given us? He's given us, amen, power, love, and a sound mind. What is that power? That power is the creative force that God used to create anything when he said, "Let there be light," and there was. That was that power in operation called dunamis power, amen, that he spoke it in existence, and it happened right now. It wasn't a delayed process. It happened as he spoke. He saw it, amen, and it fizzed. And then the love, amen, is the act of the love that he demonstrated when he hung on the cross, when he let them beat him with a cat of nine tails, amen, when he allowed him to put a crown of thorns on his head. Hallelujah. And he never said a mumbling word. And, of course, the sound mind is the comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the soul of God that shall lead us to all truth. And this is why, amen, Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, that, amen, "Lean not to thy own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." And so the steps of the righteous man are order of the Lord. And if you know anything about soldiers have to march. Soldiers, amen, hallelujah, don't have the liberty of being transported all the time, amen, in the limousines. Amen. Soldiers don't, amen, have the opportunity, amen, to ride into battle, amen, on white horses. Soldiers, amen, we're talking about ground pounders. We're talking about the infantry. They have to march. And so in the marching now, hallelujah, glory to God. In the natural military, they teach you how to march. It's left, right, left, right, left. And everybody has to be in step. And you think, amen, that when you're doing this stuff, what is the purpose of all of this? Why, amen, I've been walking, amen, the last 18, 19 years of my life. Why do you have to teach me to walk? And well, amen, there's an exercise. And while they're teaching you how to walk together so that you walk in the same step, amen, hallelujah, I hear Psalms 133:1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. So the purpose of learning how to walk together is to walk in the spirit of unity and cooperation. Because why? Amen. Because the Bible declares, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. That's called covenant agreement. If you and I can touch and agree, amen, hallelujah, then we have an agreement, amen. It's covenant. And now God honors covenant. And, amen, he will honor what we pray about. Amen. And we got to use this. Why? Because the spirit of fear. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Fear, if you will. Will, amen, impact us. And he's got some cousins. Amen. Hallelujah. He's just not fear. Amen. But they show up and they all have a different assignment. Amen. One of his cousins is anxiety. Amen. Where you're fearing the unknown. Amen. You're fearing the potential of something to happen that hadn't happened yet. That's called anxiety. And then there's terror. Amen. That's that spirit of fear. Amen. It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Amen. When you think something is around you, but you just don't know what. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, amen, the ideology of practicing fear is called terrorism. Amen. Where now, amen, you study fear. Amen. You study to be afraid. And everything around you, amen, you jump at your own shadow. If you could move away from it, you would move away from your own shadow. Amen. Because you're studying fear. fear. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been introduced. Amen. And because now, watch, because the church doesn't understand warfare, because the church doesn't understand what it means to be soldiers. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because why? We want to get together and have service. Amen. And hear a good sermon and then go to Golden Corral. But God said, amen, that soldiers have to go out and do something. You have never seen a natural war, amen, fought inside the military training base. Every fighting force knows that they have to go to the war theater to fight and engage the enemy. They don't do it in the hometowns, at least not. That's not the way it used to be. Now we see some things in Kosovo and all those countries over there. They were fighting inside the cities and tearing up their homes. And all their buildings were destroyed because they were bombing inside the city belt, the city lines, if you will. But moreover, amen, battles are fought on the battlefield. Amen, hallelujah. The church has gotten so comfortable, amen, with just sitting in the house, teaching and preaching to one another. Oh, amen, we can agree with the pastor on some things now. Amen, but if he gets down deep and dirty, amen, and steps on our corns, oh, now I'm listening. I'm not listening now because you done said the wrong thing. You told me I can't do such and such and so and so. So I just turned you off, and I'm just waiting for you to stop so I can just get up out of here and leave. But I failed to comprehend that in the message, amen, I was being prepared for battle. I was being armed up, amen, to take the word into the world. Because why? Sometimes I'm going to run into people that they need the word that the pastor just preached. But I was not listening, so I can't deliver it. I have now become a conscientious objector. I don't want to fight. I refuse to fight. Amen. Hallelujah. Go and continue again into scripture. Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and this is what it says. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, and that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dealt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. There's a penalty for refusing to fight. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidus, she judged Israel at the time. And she dwelt under the palm tree, amen, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and spoke with Barak and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with the 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went with him. So you see what happened. See, God has required us, the church, to fight. But we've gotten so comfortable. Why? Because we're looking more for houses, cars, and land, and a little money, if you will. We fail to grasp the reason, amen, for which God had called us. And he didn't call us, amen, for the temporal things, but he called us, amen, for the eternal and spiritual things, amen. And in the course of being, amen, a soldier in his army, if we are obedient, then all of the things that I just mentioned before, for time, it would be ours anyway, amen, because they're called the spoils of war. And when, amen, every time Israel was obedient to God, amen, hallelujah, the northern kingdom Israel, the southern kingdom Judah, whenever they were obedient to God and they went did what God told them to do, they won the spoils of war. And it was so much so that they had not enough room to receive it, amen. See, you got to understand, the things that we're searching for, the things that we're fighting for, the things that we're clamoring can all be ours if we just simply do what is right by God. And God has called us to be soldiers in his army. Listen, saints, amen, the reason why, amen, hallelujah, Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God, because we have to be complete in our repertoire, amen. We cannot be incomplete going into battle, amen. Hallelujah. We have to have on the helmet of salvation. That's our thought life, the breastplate of righteousness. That's our living, our witness, amen. Hallelujah. Our loins gird up with truth. Why? Because the loins, amen, is the reproductive organ, but the spiritual reproductive organ is not the natural reproductive organ. The spiritual reproductive organ is our tongue. That's why it's girded with truth, and that's why we have to speak truth. But you cannot speak truth if you're not, amen, eating truth, the word of God. You cannot speak truth. You cannot war with truth, amen, hallelujah, if all you're doing is going to a church service. You cannot, amen, fight for God if you're not praying and fasting. You cannot, amen, be valuable for God if you're not doing the things that God has ordained, amen. If we're not flowing in the gifts, if we're not speaking in tongues, if we're not baptized in the name of Jesus, according to Acts 2:38, amen. Not, amen, that's not Kipling 101, but that's Bible, amen. And that's what the foundation of the church was supposed to be, amen. So how it's supposed to be done to the church as a foundation on the day of Pentecost. But we've got so many different people speaking about the word of God. We've got so many people speaking about what they feel and putting themselves in it, their opinion, their ideology, their thought process, amen. And then we have, amen, hallelujah, the denominational divide. Now listen to this. I'm going to give you this formula, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. And I want you to hold on to it, because you will see it again somewhere, amen. Watch now. Man adds, hallelujah, glory to God. God multiplies and the devil divides. So if you see division now, that is the footprint of Satan. And so let's talk about, amen, the divided army. Amen, hallelujah. Paul, the apostle, hallelujah, amen, was a dirty guy when he was Saul. But he had a Damascus experience. He had an, amen, hallelujah, Holy Ghost experience. And God slapped the fire out of him, that he slapped some sense into him. And he asked a question in 1 Corinthians. He said, amen, a rhetorical question. Is God divided? Or is Jesus divided? And the rhetorical question, or the answer, is no. So then, why are we as an army? Now, the natural military has five arms. You know, the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. But they're one fighting force. They're not fighting against each other. They're not talking about each other. Now, you go on liberty with these guys, and you may get into some scuffles because there's unit pride. There's unit camaraderie, and so some of the things that we fight about, amen, hallelujah, it's because we're proud, amen, to be a part of the unit or the organization that we're proud of, and we're going to let everybody know it. But when it's time to get down and dirty into combat, I can look to my brother in the Marine Corps. I can look to my brother in the Army. I can look to my brother in the Air Force. I can look to my brother in the Coast Guard, and I ain't got to worry about them pointing a gun at my back. But it's not so in the church of God. Oh, we argue with one another over denominational doctrines and differences and don't realize that we're castigating and killing one another in the spirit. and dividing one another. We won't even speak to each other. How can a house divided, amen, fight against anything? We see what happened here with Barak. Amen. Barak was detailed to go and to fight against Sisera. But what happened? He had the spirit of fear. And because he had the spirit of fear, the honor did not go to him. It went to a woman who ended up killing Sisera in her tent. And just as Deborah had prophesied, that's the way it happened. So here's the thing that I want you to take out of all that I've said tonight. You see, because God has called us into battle. He chose you. He handpicked you. He says, you did not choose me. I chose you. So there's something in you that God wants to utilize, and you're here for a specific purpose. Now, everybody in the natural military, everybody in the natural army is a soldier first. And then you have your individual jobs and assignments. Amen. Hallelujah. But you're a soldier. Everybody has to qualify with their weapons. Everybody has to train. Everybody has to know how to go out and bivouac. Amen. Put up the tents. Amen. Live out in the wilderness. Everybody is in the army has to be able to do that. Whether, amen, you are ground pounder infantryman or, amen, you fight with an ink pen in the office. You have to know how to be a soldier. And so in the church of God, everybody has to know the word of God. No, you don't have to have a title, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. No, it's not a requirement that you have a title. In fact, amen, the title doesn't make you. You make the title because the title is a noun. It's an inanimate object. It's an inanimate. It doesn't even exist without you. If you don't bring life to the title means absolutely nothing. So don't just walk around and say, oh, I got a this and I got a that. Am I this and I'm a that? If you're not going to fulfill doing what you said that you are. So, amen, because this brother, I don't know if he's a brother or not, I'm just saying it that way, but he let fear creep into his heart. And because of that, he lost the honor of being a victor in battle. But here's the key. I want you to hear this now. Because Ezekiel 33 tells us that we are watching on the wall, in the tower. And it says that if destruction is coming and we fail to sound the alarm, then all of those that God has put in your charge, if they perish, then their blood is required at your hand. So when we stand before God on that day, he's going to say, what did you tell these folk about me? He's going to say, well, God, listen. See, what had happened was, and God says, depart from me, your work of iniquity, for I never knew you. And you don't want to hear that because there is no appeal process. And you're going to go dance on some hot coals because you failed to uphold your sworn duty. When you took the right hand of fellowship, you were enlisting in God's army. And the Bible declares this, it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. So when you raised your right hand and you said, for God I shall live and for God I shall die, that should have meant something to you. You, amen, there was no one holding a gun to your head to say you're going to join the military or you're going to die. You're going to join the church or you're going to die. You did that. You submitted to the invitation. And since you did, you have an obligation now. But your obligation comes with reward. He loads you with benefits daily. But if you're obedient and you go out and you fight for souls, then God's going to bless you in such a way that you won't have enough room to receive whatever the blessing is that he's going to bring to you. While we're fighting to hold on to these minuscule things, these temporal things, the cars and the houses and the money in the bank, God can give you greater if you just obey and if you just honor the oath that you took as a soldier in his army. And I close with this right here. In Matthew 24, Matthew 13. It's not your fault. Listen now. It's not your fault that you're maybe lacking in an area. It's not your fault. Because while the church was asleep, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Spies, if you will, that were sent on a mission. And their mission was to put you to sleep, sing a lullaby to you so you would lay down, lay your arms down, and just go to sleep. And lean over in the corner just so snoring, so that they could then speak into your ear and cause you to be redirected, so that when you wake up, there's no fight in you. All you want to do is just be. Leave me alone. I ain't going on doing it. I ain't telling nobody about abortion. I ain't telling nobody about such and such and so and so. That ain't my job. That's somebody else's job. That's the pastor's job. That's the evangelist's job. That's the apostle's job. That's somebody else's job. That ain't my job. That ain't my portion. Well, that's because the enemy lied to you and spoke into your ear. So what do we have to do to right the ship? Well, reexamine your commitment. If you took this oath, if you realize that God saved your life, think about where you could be that you're not, and what you could be doing that you're not, that how God delivered you from drugs, that you could be up out of here. Huh? Think about what God, you had not, but God gave it. He says, I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Then he says, if you delight in me, that means if you fully surrender in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. So he's going, you can't beat him giving, and he can't beat him supplying. All you got to do is be obedient and do what he says do. Go ye therefore into all the world, teaching and baptizing and preaching whatever I've shown and taught you, teach them. Freely are you received, freely you give. Now, let me just say this as I close. Amen. We live in a COVID world where everybody's preaching fear. But what did he say in Matthew 10:1? As he called his disciples together, he gave them power over every unclean spirit, sickness, and disease. And my favorite scripture, Mark 16:17-18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't say a denomination. He didn't say what church house you belong to or who is your pastor. He said, those that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will handle serpents. That means you're going to be around some wicked people. And if they drink any deadly thing, if you take anything in, it shall not hurt you. What does it say? What does the Bible say? It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out. So if you hear it and you never repeat it, it's not going to defile you. It will not hurt you. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what the believer is supposed to be doing. That's what the soldier is supposed to be doing in God's army. He's giving you power. After the Holy Ghost has come, you shall receive power. Now, soldier, behold, that's the word attention, stand up and fight.
Amen.
Fight to the end. God bless you, and God keep you.
Amen. Mm. That was a good word.
Whoa.
And that is true. I always tell Pastor T, and I was so disappointed when I saw that the church didn't realize what their job descriptions were and what side they were on. And you're not
right.
On the governmental side. You're not on the political side. You're on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your position in him. Not in this realm. And a lot of people, they think that that's their righteousness, their godliness, is to be political, and it's not. Jesus came, and a lot of things was going on when he came. Pastor T talks about it all the time, how Rome was in a disarray, and they thought Jesus came for that, but he didn't. He came for the Father. He came to show you who the Father really was and how you can enter into the kingdom and how you can navigate in this realm like he did, you know, the same way that he got through it. He said, I overcame it, and you can too. And it's just really interesting to me how off course everything has shifted to, you know, being so much involved in what's going on in the world when God's not that interested in that as he is in the church, and a church overcoming the world.
What did he say?
And
anybody that's a is enemy with God.
Right.
Say that again.
He said, anyone that is a friend of the world is an enemy with God. So all of this political wrangling, in fact, the Bible even deals with politics. He says, according to 2 Timothy 2:4, anyone that wars does not get involved in civilian affairs. Because your answer, listen now, your answer, your salvation, your safety does not come from the President of the United States, who in most cases is not even a believer. It doesn't come from your senator who has several wives and sleeping around. He's not your source. And then you have to ask yourself this question. You go out and vote, and that's one person you're voting for. But there's 534 other people that are all casting votes against that person. Now, where is your hope? Where does your hope lie when that person is outvoted? Where is your hope? Where is your safety when that person went to with an agenda and got voted down? Now, where is your hope? Where is what you wanted? Supposedly, this is the government for the people and by the people. Then why aren't the people getting what they want? Because it never was about that. And again, we are the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the peculiar people. We're set apart. We're sanctioned away from the world. Why do we keep running to the world for answers? Your answers are on your knees. Your answers are to God. But the checks are coming. That's what we're looking for. The government is our savior. Government put homosexuality up as the law of the land, which we know in our Bible is an abomination. But yet now, because the church forgot its duty and responsibility, demonstrating the power of God in the earth, now the world is walking in control, and you and I as believers have no right to share our faith because we failed to demonstrate the power of God. We failed to allow our lights to shine. We failed to be the salt of the earth because we were more involved in the world. We laid down our swords. We took off our armor. We just want to be friends with you. Come on, let's go hang out. Let's have a drink together. Yeah, you're my enemy, but hey, we're friends. Yeah, come on, I don't mean that about you. I'm not going to hurt you. Come on. I'll hang out with prostitution. I'll hang out with drug addiction. I'll hang out. I'm not going to cast you out. I'm not going to send you there. We can be friends. I won't talk about you. We'll just hang out and have a drink. Let's go have a meal or two. Why, it's in my house. I won't get rid of it because it's my child. He said cast that demon out. But we don't even know we have the power to do it because we've taken it.
Right.
We've surrendered authority and power to something else. So the things that we want that aren't ours to have.
Yeah, it's the money and the grace. You know?
Amen. Well, God bless you. I pray that it spoke to you guys. Amen.
Spoke to us, and I'm sure to all our friends and family all over the world, and a lot of people that were listening. A lot of people are concerned about the state of the church and the lukewarmness and why no one is standing up against homosexuality or some of the things that are being engineered and placed upon us, you know, the rights that are being taken away right in front of our faces, a lot of things are being removed from the church, and different laws and rules and regulations that are being put in order by the systems that are not of God. No one is just like sleep, because everybody's afraid, like you said, to say anything that they're going to get canceled. They're afraid of the cancel culture. But if you don't care about the world and the people, I mean, like that, care to the place where you're allowing them to control you, you know, can't care more than God.
Because I'm standing alone. I'm standing on the outside. I want to be a part of, you know, I want to be accepted. So I'll stand with the group rather than the individual because, you know, the group is going this direction. But what if the group is going over the side of the mountain? You going to go with them?
Yeah.
Just that's what many of them are doing.
Got to be like the salmon that swims upstream and not going, you know, the same route as the other fishes. But the Lord is very good, and he's still alert, and he still has a plan. I cried out to the Lord regarding a lot of this that you're talking about, and he said that the church is the answer to this. The golden church is the answer. The church is going to arise, and that will be in the bride of Christ will arise. And it will be the answer to the ills. And that's why the church is in training, whether they know it or not. They just got to realize their job description, what side they're on, and and realize that the Holy Spirit can't operate where there's friction and fighting and anger and hatred and bitterness and no love and competition and all the things that goes on. God is not a part of all of that. And the Holy Spirit can't even move. I don't know why people want to go to a church like that where all that's going on, because it makes no sense to me. And we can't bring the world into the church. You act like they're just the same, and they're not. A lot of people don't know the difference between the world and the church and what is being worldly and what's being Christian. They haven't even gotten that lesson because the church is emulating the world more than they are the Lord. And Jesus is our guy. Jesus, you can't hardly even say his name. You know, people they want to take his name out of everything. They don't want his name to be on the TV, on the records, the sound waves. But we say Jesus all day in the blood of the Lamb all day. God, you know, praise the Lord all day long. And they want that to cease. They don't want to hear the sound of the bride. But the Lord still is in control because we win. We got to realize we win. And it is a defeatist attitude in the church. I don't like that, because we will win. Those that are real true believers of the Lord, they know that the Lord is going to come through for them. They know that he's going to rise up an exceedingly great army. There's people that are in the background, and they're being quiet because they're waiting on the Lord, but the Lord is empowering them. Satan hasn't won. I mean, it says in Daniel that the Lord stood up and hit the gavel, and the laws and things that they were trying to change, that the Lord said, thus far and no further. He stood up on them, and that's what's going to happen. And it seems like, you know, because they're trying to make everything legal, because Satan fights legal like that. And a lot of people don't realize that they're being fought legally. And legally he's trying to defeat the church by putting them in a stronghold, that if you speak certain things that you won't be able to continue in your 501(c), or you won't be can't continue in this building if it's owned by the city or the government, if you say certain things. But the Lord, he has a plan for all of this, because he has still a true believing body of people that are sincere. And it has, a lot of them have been deceived by the gospel of grace. A lot of people have been deceived. They think that they don't even realize the difference between the world and them. They think it's all the same. You know, you just go, except you add church in on Sunday, but you do everything everybody else is doing all during the week. And if you feel like you want to curse somebody out, you do. If you don't want to love them or like them, you don't have to. And that's all I don't understand. It's just nothing of God being preached out there and taught. It should be an atmosphere of unity and love when you go to church. And Sid is a little chaos from what I hear from other people. It's a lot of chaos and a lot of competition and fighting and controlling spirits, because when the Holy Spirit is not in control, then you have man's spirit trying to control the people through Sunday dinners. I mean, you know, gatherings. It's always come here for something, whether it's to give out the food, just come for a meeting. It's always a gathering for something, but it's nothing Holy Spirit driven. And the Lord has to be the boss. He has to be. He says the church belongs to Jesus. Right, Pastor?
That's absolutely correct. The church belongs to Jesus, not to man and not to Satan, not to demons. And what's happening is though a lot of people, not all people, because there's some righteous people that's really preaching the word of God. They're bold. They're standing out just a lot like you, Apostle Taylor. It's a lot of people that's speaking out, and they're doing what God wants them to do. But it's just a few of them right now, because the majority of the church is in fear. In fear of losing, like you said, Pastor Tosila, their 501c3, fear of losing their congregation if they speak about certain truths that their congregation will stop supporting, so they don't want to speak that. They got to get out of the fear, and that's basically what's holding them. Now, Satan has a stronghold on the church, and that's why even when the Lord anointed the apostles, he told them to go to the lost sheep of Israel first, and they went to the Jews first, and then they went to the Gentiles. Well, we have to do the same. We have to go to the Christian church first, because the Christian church need truth, and they need to learn how to stand on truth. If you say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you say that you are a Christian, you have to believe his word and stand on his word. You can't pick and choose what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe. The word of God is the word of God. And if we as leaders, we have to preach the word, whether people get offended or not. We have to preach his word, because we will be accountable if we don't. We have to preach his word, and the rest of the Christian church has to do the same. Whether you're a member of the congregation or you have a position in the ministry, you still have to stand on and preach his word. Though many people in your family may be upset with you, a lot of friends you might lose, so be it. You speak his word. And in the long run, you keep all these people that are upset with you, all these people you keep in prayer. You just keep them lifted up in prayer. And you're praying and having faith in God that he'll at least touch them, give them an opportunity to choose the truth. But you preach it, because they need a light. The world need lights. Need lights in the firmament of heaven. We need lights on this earth, in this dark world. We need lights. We are to be the light of the world, the light of the world, because we reflect the light of Jesus Christ. And people have to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. They have to see Christ in you. They have to see Jesus rising up from within you. Arise, shine, your light has come. You have to see Christ rising up in you. The world needs to see the real. They're not getting the real. And the world really wants the real. So because they don't see the real, they settle for the government or organizations or different things that they turn their hearts to, other false religions. They'll turn to whatever because they're in search for the real. They're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And if they can't find it, then they go elsewhere. But the church has to stand up and be a light so people can see them and be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Pastor Tasila.
And it says in Joel 2, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? And it's great because the power of God is going to be operating in a real great, stronger form throughout a body of people, his army, and it's terrible for those who are not in the army, who are on the outside today.
Absolutely.
It's terrible with both things. And it's some good things happening. And right now, and for good for people, some blessings are on the church too and on the people. And then there is terrible things that are happening also, because both things are happening simultaneously. It's not just one type of day in this season that we're in. It's good and it's terrible. And it's terrible for those who don't know the Lord and who haven't given up their lives to the Lord, and because judgment is on the earth. And then it's great for those that belong to the army of the Lord, who because the Lord is filling up his people with great power and his presence. I know that heaven is invading earth right now, and the presence of God is invading those that belong to him. And he's saturating them like a sponge. If you dipped it in some oil, he's saturating his people. And you're going to see great power and anointing right now. I think the church is in a place this year of being trained, those that belong to him. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not talking about the outer court. I'm talking about the inner court. See, there is places in God. And there's an inner court and there's an outer court. And then there's the Holy of Holies. And a lot of people have entered into the Holy of Holies, into his presence. And they're going to show forth his presence in this earth. And a lot of people are still in the outer court because they're playing on the fence. And they're hot. They're not hot. They're lukewarm. And the Lord said he doesn't like that. And that's why they haven't entered into the sanctuary, into other places in Christ. They don't even know it exists, actually.
Yeah.
What God has for those. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And here's what's happening. Here's what God is going to do. He's going to bring forth such a powerful anointing that has never been seen since on Jesus Christ himself. A never-failing ministry with power that you have never seen, with signs and wonders and miracles, and it's all going to be an act of love, the full expression of God's love upon his people. And he's calling a remnant from out of all of Christianity, even out of the world. He's calling a remnant, people that will be still to receive this, because he's anointing his people to serve the people. But he's anointing them with something more powerful than they have ever seen. For once, people are going to see that God is real, even atheists, because they're going to see the presence of God upon you. They're going to see Jesus Christ in you. When they look at you, they will see Jesus Christ because you're so anointed. You're so anointed. When you speak the word, you don't have to sweat and dance and all of that. You just speak a word and it happens immediately. You have creative power with your mouth, just speaking God's word, and you can see eyeballs being created in somebody's eyes. You can see someone with no arms. By you speaking the word, there it is. The arm is actually being created on the person right before your face. It's some great power that's coming to God's people. And here's the deal. Once the world see this great power and they know that it's of the Lord, they can even acknowledge that it's of the Lord. And if still they reject the Lord after seeing he's real. Jesus Christ is truly Lord, and they see it for themselves. And if they still reject him, that's when the real judgment will fall upon them, and it's no reverse, because God has proven himself to be real, and still you reject him. But for those who believe and will cling on to him, they will receive everlasting life. They will receive the promises that God has brought forth. But God is going to be seen in persons before he's seen in person. The Lord is going to come in his people before he come for his people. So the world is going to see the presence of God in us before he even comes, because we are preparing the people for his coming, so that when he comes, we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will go on into his glory. Yes.
Yeah, the remnant is what we're talking about, because it says in also Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, which is the church, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. It's a call, and it's those that answer and that allow the Holy Spirit to prepare them for this work. They're going to see a lot of signs and wonders and great things, and the Lord uttering his voice before his army and doing great miraculous things through them.
Like you said, it's a great and terrible day. It's going to be a very exciting time for the true believer, because they're going to see that their words are not falling to the ground, because they're speaking the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. You're listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, and our special guest, Apostle Kiplin Taylor. Apostle, would you say a prayer for our listeners, those that have tuned in, and just say a prayer for them?
Sure. Oh, gracious and mighty God of heaven, Lord, we thank you now, Father God. Lord, we pray, Father God, as we have gathered together here tonight, Lord. And Lord God, amen, according to your word, where there are two or three gathered together in your name, that you're in the midst, we thank you, Lord God. Amen. We know that you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. We thank you, Lord God, for honoring your word. Lord, I pray for every household, Lord God, every individual, Father God, every ministry and every minister now, Lord. I pray, Father God, amen, that Holy Ghost power, amen, would fall upon everyone under the sound of my voice. Amen. Not only Holy Ghost power, but holy boldness, God. Amen. Hallelujah. That we would no longer, amen, be subjected to and come under the intimidation of and fear factor, oh God, come out of the pit of hell. But Lord God, we would take it by force. Amen. According to Matthew 12, 11 and 12, amen, for the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. God, amen, raise up now an army, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit of infirmity now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, amen. Every physical demon, every mental demon, we come against it now in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against every, amen, hallelujah, opponent, amen, of God, every opponent of the kingdom of heaven. We stand now in agreement. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. For the anointing has come. The anointing has come to break the yoke off of the backs of the people of God. In the name of Jesus, we come against every financial demon. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Father, we touch as agreeing now, Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. That you're going to restore. You're going to resurrect. You're going to, amen, hallelujah, give life where there was death. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you now, God. Amen. Hallelujah. That you have not forgotten us. We thank you, Lord God, that you're yet mindful of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we pray, amen. Hallelujah. For Pastor T. Meyer and Pastor Tosila now. We pray, Father God, that you would cause increase, overflow, and abundance to come into their life, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, they can do more. They can go farther. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. They can reach many, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. We pray, Father God, favor, amen, upon the ministry, amen, that they lead. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we pray. Even over this, amen, Christian Talk Radio. Lord God, we pray, amen, that it would go farther, that it would reach many more. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We come against, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hypertension now. We come against diabetes. We come against lupus. We come against cancer. We come against it all. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bipolar. Yeah, I see you hiding over there. We cast you out now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Schizophrenia. Amen. You too have to go. In the name of Jesus. My God. Oh, God, we thank you now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lupus. Hallelujah. Leukemia. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Cancer. Yes. In the name of Jesus, we cast you out now. And we send you all to the barren place. We send you where there is no communication. We send you, amen. Hallelujah. Where there is no life. There is no movement. Everything is still. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there you will stay. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you now. And we pray, Lord God, hallelujah, glory, amen, that you would honor this prayer. Find your servant worthy, Lord, to stand in your presence. Amen. We thank you, God, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And on that note and on that prayer, we say God bless you all. We will see you next week at the same time. Be at peace with the Lord Jesus Christ.
God bless you. Love you, Pastor Kipling. Kiss your wife for me.
We'll do, oh, real quick, just before we go, slap someone sauce. All right. Well, I'm not the only owner. Amen. My wife and I are the owners of Slap Someone Sauce LLC. What is it? It is our line of barbecue sauce. Amen. And we have 11 flavors of barbecue sauce and dry rub. And so we want to be able to enhance your food so that people would come to your house, they can rave about your sauce, amen, because you got it from Slap Someone's sauce. We want to put everybody else out of business. Amen. So we're not. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Okay. So go to Slap Someone's sauce. Huh?
Slap Someone's sauce. You can catch Apostle Kipling Taylor even on Facebook. So you can look him up, send him a friend request, and ask more about Slap Someone's Sauce. That always makes me laugh every time I hear it. Okay, we're out of time. We will see you all next week in the spirit. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.